It's green for go. They're racing.
He says go.
He says ta-da.
And Tiger Tara roars away from them on the home turn.
Here comes another big boil over.
Equine Athleticism at its best. The King is in the castle once more.
This is in one race. The rest are almost in another post.
She is a star with a capital S.
It's going to be a triple treat. A miracle three-peat.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed history here at Madangle. What about that?
It's getting right up on the sprint lane and it's going to bolt in.
Hello and welcome to the Sprint Lane podcast for Harness Racing New South Wales. This is episode 92 and it's great to have your company today. My name's Greg Hayes and this is the Sunday session. For the next half hour or so, I'm going to talk harness racing in New South Wales. So whether you're going for a walk or you're at the gym or you're doing a jog trip, sitting at home relaxing, wherever you are, I hope you're enjoying the podcast today. Who's on this week? Well, I thought it was time to catch up with Ashley DeLoza on the podcast, especially after she drove four winners at Newcastle on Friday night. I know I spoke with another young driver, Lucas Rando, after he had a night out at Newcastle going back just over a month, and it's amazing to see these new names going so well. Obviously, Ash has been around a few years, and so too has Lucas. Now, I left Sky Racing in May 2019, so it's more than 5 years ago, and names like Rando and DeLoza weren't up in lights like they are now. I'm really enjoying the chance to chat to these participants, get to know them, find out their story, and I'll do that with Ash today. I was speaking with Ricky Alchin on the podcast a couple of weeks ago when Ash drove her first Metro winner at Menangle, and Ricky was thrilled for Ash on that occasion. So I'm looking forward to speaking with Ash DeLoza on the podcast. What about the form of Will Rickson? He just continues to drive winner after winner, has already racked up more than 60 winners this year, should crack another 100 for the year. Menangle on Saturday night, he drove two winners, one for Brad Hewitt and one for Leon Jurd. He drove Captain's Knock, an absolute treat, after dropping him into the 1-1 from the wide draw and then just outthought everyone with Lockheel when he gunned out Lead and then proved too strong. Very interesting to see what plays out with Brad Hewitt in the Eureka. He's got Captain's Knock in the race, but he drives Extreme C for his dad. It'll be interesting to see whether he drives Captain's Knock or whether he tries to push to drive Extreme C. I haven't heard anything. I'm just throwing out the thought bubbles. If I was a driver, I know which one I would want to be steering. It's the horse that's sitting at home in the stables this weekend. That's not a shot at Captain's Knock by any means. He's a very good horse. His win at Menangle on Saturday night proved he had a few strings to his bow. So he's got that versatility. He's got that strength. And it's going to make him a serious contender in the world's richest harness race. Swayze was back at the races on Saturday night, proved too good for his rivals again. In fact, it was a good night for the Grimson stable with both Swayze and Artie's Express winning. The driver on Swayze was Cam Hart. Jack Traynor drove Artie's Express and Jack Callaghan drove Royal Dan, who was beaten as a shorty later in the night. Grimson does look to be using a lot of drivers at the moment. Most often, Jack Callaghan is getting the call up and Cam Hart does look to have fallen down the pecking order. Plenty of stories going around the industry why this may have happened, but I'm not into fanning rumours, never have, never will. I like to promote the sport of harness racing, and that is what this podcast is all about. So I'm looking forward to catching up with both Ash and Will later on. The Menangle Express is back, where I'll have a look at the eight races run at headquarters and see if we can find a winner or two going forward. Plus, Mr. T will have another couple of tips. We both missed out last week, so both looking to get back into the winners list this week. But time to get this podcast going. And first up, I'm going to speak with Ash DeLoza.
Double Lones is on the inside being tapped along. Trying to pick it up is Flying Shard. Coming now with a big burst of speed is Cologne to the outside of the track. And the widest runner will be Muckenbar Diva. Turning for home there right across the track. Double Lones with the narrow lead. Coming up swiftly is Cologne. To the outside of the track is Muckenbar Diva. Coming quickly right over the top. Cologne and Muckenbar Diva. It's Muckenbar Diva coming over the top. And four winners for Ashley tonight.
Well, Ash DeLoza absolutely slayed them at Newcastle on Friday night with four winners. She won races 3, 4, 5, and 6. She had a couple of drives at Menangle tonight, and she's got drives at Bankstown on Monday, Menangle on Tuesday, and interestingly enough, drives for all different stables, people taking advantage of that 5-point claim, and of course driving in great form is Ash DeLoza. She's joining me to have a chat. Hi Ash, how are you?
Hi, Greg. Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Congratulations with the four wins on Friday night at Newcastle.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great night, that's for sure.
Is it a career best, the four winners?
Yeah, I've only ever driven a double, so yeah.
Okay, so it was clearly by far and away your best night at the office. Let's have a chat about those four winners. You only went there for the four drives. You drove way out west in race three for David Caffin. You had to be pretty patient with this one.
Yeah, I drove him the week before and he went really good. He won that week as well in his little fit sprinter, so I just had to drive him the same and worked out well when the leaders were under pressure. I thought just wait as long as I could to go and no, he proved to be too strong.
You've obviously got a pretty good association with the horse.
Yeah, that was only my second time driving him for two wins, so no, hopefully I can keep it up.
And what happens in situations like that? Are you, like, you obviously had a number of drives for Ricky on Friday night, but if you get a phone call with a drive at, say, Newcastle or, say, Bathurst or something like that, will you make the trip? Is that how it works?
Yeah, pretty much. I've been travelling a fair bit at the moment. I've been going to Bathurst nearly every week and Newcastle every Friday, so now I'm happy to travel where I have to.
Race four, you drove Forceful for Ricky. What did you make of Forceful?
Yeah, I thought obviously he was really well. We're going to try and get the lead, but when they come out under me and we were never going to lead, I grabbed up early enough and got out of that early speed and ended up in the 1-1 and couldn't have worked out any better. Probably had to go a little bit earlier than I wanted, but he just felt so good and he was really strong.
It was a great piece of driving on Forceful to end up where you did. What about Van Basten? It looked to have a little bit on them in race number five, and in the end, they made you work a little bit harder, but he still proved too strong.
Yeah, for sure. He was definitely the best runner in that race by far, I thought. And obviously, I had to do a lot of work, but I wasn't overly concerned as he's a pretty strong horse. And once they handed up the lead to me, it was definitely all over.
Yeah, so that was the third. And then the fourth one was Muckinbar Diva, who, again, had to work for it. Came from a long way back, but you timed your run to perfection.
Yeah, she. It was her first start for Ricky, and he said she's really fast, so we're always going to go back on her and come with one run. And I got a little worried just how wide I did have to come, but at the top of the straight, she really let down really well and proved that she was too fast.
So, in a situation like that, do you get panicky out there when things aren't going to plan and you're worried that maybe, you know, you're not in the right position? Like, how do you, are you calm out there or do you get a little bit anxious?
I think I used to probably get a little bit anxious and whatever, but these last couple months I think I've really improved and I've been pretty patient in my driving, and I think that's really proved in my drives that I'm quite patient lately, and I knew how fast she was, and yeah, I had to come wide, but I think I was patient enough, and yeah.
Just having a look at your overall career, started driving in 2021, you drove 3 from 14 and then 16 from 86 in 2022, 20 from 158 in 2023, and this year it's been a breakout year for you, 255 drives for 47 wins, so your strike rate is really, really good, and obviously getting drives for plenty of stables, so plenty of people wanting to use your 5-point claim at the moment.
Yeah, I've definitely improved each season, and like I said, these last couple of months, I've just really seemed to be getting the hang of the driving and picking up a lot more drives for outside trainers, which definitely helps. And I've been travelling a fair bit, so it's been good.
And what about, you got your first Metro winner as well a few weeks ago now, so everything seems to be falling into place for you.
Yeah, these last couple of months have been really amazing. I didn't think I'd be able to do any of this, to be honest, from where I come from. But now to get my first Metro was amazing, and to get it on one of Ricky's horses who I work for was even better.
Now, what's the Ash DeLoza story? How did you get involved in harness racing? I stepped away from the sport in about 2019, and you've obviously gone bang since then. So how did you get involved?
Going back a few years now, I was living in Queensland and just started at Grant Dixon Stables, and I was there for about 3 years. And I never really thought about a future in the sport, but then I met my partner, Chris Geary, and we had two horses of our own, and that just kind of made me get my trainer's license. And I never really thought about driving either, but the more I was training them, the more I loved driving, and I wanted to get out there.
So just a love of horses from when you were really young?
Yeah, I've always been involved in horses, like just riding horses from a young age, and I thought after school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but obviously I'd always loved horses, and I thought wouldn't mind working with them one day, and just seeing an ad for harness racing, and I had no idea what harness racing was, but I thought I'd give it a go and haven't looked back since.
So when you started driving, who were some of the big influences on you? Obviously Chris would have been giving you a helping hand.
Yeah, definitely Chris. He was definitely the main one, and also Ricky. When I started working there, he helped me get my license, and definitely those two.
And you still train. So what do you think the future will hold? Do you prefer the driving now that you're starting to really hit your straps, or do you still have that passion for training them?
I love both, to be honest. Like obviously, when you got your claim and you're going really good at it, I love the driving side, but I also do love training, and it's a good backup once you do lose that claim. If you're not out there driving as much, it's good to have that backup as a trainer, and I do love looking after the horses and working them, so I'm happy to be doing both.
How many horses are you training at the moment?
Chris and I have about 11 in work, so not too many.
Okay, but it's still a sizable team, and obviously enough to keep you busy anyway.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely enough for us too anyway.
So how did you celebrate your Friday night success of the four winners?
Oh, haven't celebrated yet. Just a bit of catching up on some sleep.
Well, congratulations with the four wins. That's a huge effort. You're obviously moving in the right direction and you're going places. So I wish you all the best of luck, and thanks for joining me tonight.
Thanks, Greg.
In the direction of the home corner, Hector Led, being pushed along, is I'm in Trouble, waiting on a run, Surface, about to peel his captain's knock. Stravinsky makes its move, but it'll have to go four deep, and Tuppence is trying to work into the clear, 27.5 the quarter. They straighten up, and the leader was Hector. Inside run presents for Surface, but captain's knock quickly goes up to join the leaders. Running home is Stravinsky, Tuppence behind them. Captain's knock's the leader. Stravinsky's trying its heart out in second spot. Back to the insiders, Tuppence the leader is captain's knock over Stravinsky, and too good for them, captain's knock. Welcome back.
He is one of the form drivers in New South Wales at the moment, and another two winners at Menangle on Saturday night. Will Rickson is doing a great job at the moment. He's joining me to have a chat. Congratulations, Will. Another good night at Menangle.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me on. It's definitely was a good night. So, yeah, very fortunate.
Mate, you are driving in good form at the moment. I don't think I'm speaking out of school. I was out at Penrith a week and a half ago. I was having a chat to Fred Hastings, and he reckons you're the form driver of Sydney. What do you put it down to at the moment?
Just the horses mainly, Greg. Like, getting on the good horses for the good stables is, such an important thing. And, yeah, I've just got a lot of good trainers backing me and, lucky enough to get on the right horses. And, things are just working out quite well. So hopefully they can keep going.
Mate, 160 winners in 2023. You're 63. We're not halfway through the year. So you're well and truly on course to get over the 100 again. Is that now a goal you set yourself of getting to the 100 winners in a season?
Yeah, I think so. I think to get 100 winners is a big thrill, and it's, quite a good effort. So last year was a massive thrill for me. So if I can get, over the 100 and continuing to get good drives, I'll be, more than happy with that.
Well, you opened up proceedings on Saturday night with Captain's Knock, driving this one for Brad Hewitt. And, little bit of interference at the start between No Heartthrob and Jillaby Nitro. But as a result, you were able to slot into a pretty good spot.
Yeah, it was. Looked a little bit of a tricky draw with speed inside him, but Brad was really happy with the horse, so I just we elected to sort of buzz out the first sort of 50 to 100 and then work it out from there. And just seen the, obviously a couple got checked, and just seen that the spot available to slot in. So we took that, and yeah, it gave me such a good feel throughout the race. So, to be honest, I just never thought I was getting beat after 100 metres. He just travelled so well, and yeah, I think he still had a little bit left. So yeah, beautiful horse.
At the top of the straight, Stravinsky, Seton Grimer came out three wide. You sort of had to come out underneath him. But Captain's Knock, he just looked to have another gear there if you'd really wanted it.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously roused on him a little bit, but I sort of didn't get up him too much. I could feel him holding Stravinsky at bay quite comfortably. He was pricking his ears and all of that near the line. But yeah, obviously still had the plugs in, and I was still quite kind to him up the straight, so it was probably an ideal first up run for him when looking like it's going to be a pretty busy preparation for him. So I'm sure Brad will be more than happy with how he went.
Do you feel any pressure driving a horse like him? He's obviously got the Eureka later on in the year. Brad has driven the horse for most of his career, and then you get the call to drive him on Saturday night. Is it a bit of pressure because of what the horse has got coming up?
I'm sort of always been quite fortunate. I'm not one to really think too much about that. I sort of just like to focus on the race. And Brad, speaking to Brad today, didn't really put too much pressure on me. He sort of just left it up to me and said he was happy with the horse. So, when they're like that, it makes the driver's job easier. And, I think if you can go out there with a clear head, it makes a big difference in races. So I try not to think too much ahead of it. But obviously, you when you get the call up on them sort of horses, you want to get the job done like you did tonight.
Yeah.
So it was, it was a good thrill.
Mate, what about race two? You drove Vinky B for Trevor Munday. What did you make of Vinky B?
Yeah, not too bad of a run. He didn't get beat far, but he travelled like he was sort of going to come into the race at probably the 300, but he just didn't maybe find the line as good as we would have liked. But, they run a quick mile, and Trev Munday said that he sort of raced 3 weeks in a row and had a couple of hard runs, so might have just told him he made. He might miss him next week and freshen him up a bit. And yeah, he's got a Saturday night win in him over the winter, I feel.
Dance and Deliver for Dad in race number three. This horse won four starts ago. You drove it a treat on that occasion, and has been racing in pretty tough company, really. Only beaten 12 metres on Saturday night. You must have been happy with that performance.
Yeah, he went really good last week and ran second to Van Basten, and we're still happy enough with him tonight, but I think maybe just wasn't quite as sharp. Had a couple of sort of strong racings here at Menangle, so similar thing to Vinky B. Might miss him next week and freshen him up a bit. And yeah, he's been a horse that's done a really good job for Mum and Dad, so hopefully he can continue on that way. Seems to race well at Menangle.
Race number four, you drove Lockyer for Leon Jurd. I think you outsmarted everyone here. You showed that the horse has got gate speed. You got across, handed over to the leader, and you just got that really soft run.
Yeah, it worked out well. It sort of lacked a little bit of form in the race. A few horses were out of form in it, so yeah, 2,300 metre racing's tricky, and sometimes you're better off chancing your arm and getting a closer spot because it can be hard to get the right track into it. So, yeah, luckily he's got tactical speed and could zip across and have the run of the race, and he was able to get back into a bit of form tonight, which was good.
What's it like driving for Leon? Does he give you instructions, or does he just basically throw it over to you?
Yeah, he's probably one of the easiest people that I've driven for. It's he puts his drivers on, and I think he's a bit of a believer that's why he puts them on, that they should know what the best thing to do on the horse, and leave it up to you. And I think as a driver, that's the best thing for you. If they leave it up to you, it's normally when you can drive your best races. So yeah, he's definitely a pleasure to drive for.
And what about halfway down the straight? Were you pretty confident that you were going to get Tishan Raider?
Yeah, he dropped a little bit around the bend, and I was a little bit concerned, but that was probably the 27 flat third quarter. But as soon as the horse popped off my back, I could sort of feel him kick up again and sort of want to hold it at bay. So, yeah, once we got halfway up the straight, I was confident he was going to hang on.
In race six, that was the Artie's Express Ladyship Stakes. You drove Iron Prezzy Bell, who, again, didn't run a bad race. Obviously, up racing some of the best mares in the country in Artie's Express and Tay-Tay. What did you make of Iron Prezzy Bell's run?
Yeah, more than pleased with her. She's just been one of the mares that had done such a great job for us. And she's she's just always them mares are such quality mares, but we don't feel as though she's that far behind them with the right run, and she's proved that a couple of times by qualifying for the ladyship. So in the winter, when these couple of good mares go up to Queensland, Dad will probably elect to stay home with her. And yeah, I think she's got a nice featured mares, racing her over the winter, I hope.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that one. And Karaka Jack Tooth for Jared Alchin in the 3-year-old Trotters Foundation final. Finished second, but it was a good run.
Yeah, she's a lovely little filly. Jared's done a good job with her, and obviously the winner, Mileman's Son, is quite a nice horse, so, and he had a nice run, so it was always going to be hard to catch him. But yeah, more than happy with her run tonight. She was she gave me a really nice drive.
Did she was a long way off them early. What were you thinking at the top of the straight? Did you think you could get anywhere near them?
I could feel it winding her gears, and I could just see a couple of them were sort of off the bit, but throughout the whole race, I could see how well Mildman Sonny was travelling, so I never really thought I could catch him, but I did think she's a tough sort of filly, so I did think she'd find the line and maybe get the distance of the race a little bit better than the others, which she probably showed the last 100 metres.
Notice on Monday at Bankstown in the Truer, you're driving Last Tango in Heaven for Seaton Grimer. You're also on Arden's Ace, the first emergency, if it gets a run. What'll happen there? Will you drive Last Tango in Heaven?
Yeah, I think so. It's sort of hard to commit to a horse that you're not 100% sure is going to be in the race. So Seaton asked me to drive Last Tango in Heaven, and yeah, it looks a very strong race, but the draws are important on them tracks, and obviously it's drawn the right gate to feature in the race, and trialled quite well also last week, which gives me confidence as well.
So, mate, what's the story with you? Are you working for your dad? Are you doing, or are you basically just doing all your freelance driving?
Yeah, I used to work for Ricky Alchin, and that was really good, but this year I've gone and worked for actually Leon Judd.
Yep.
He's just got a bit of a smaller team, and obviously the driving really picked up last year, and I was doing a lot of meetings, and I wanted to keep that going. So just looked to sort of go to a smaller stable, which, suits me a little bit better, and do as much driving as I can. So everything's working out really well at the moment.
Well, mate, another two winners on a Saturday night keeps your name up in lights. Congratulations with that, and good luck going forward.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Race one, the favourite was Captain's Knocker, $2.40, and as the starter said go, No Heartthrob went sideways and cannoned into Jillaby Nitro, and it lost a couple of lengths as a result. Not too many wanted to get forward here, so Hector led and Captain's Knock was able to slot into the 1-1. They settled down like this. Marker Pegs was Hector, Surface, Tuppence, Porter Prince and Jillaby Nitro. Running line was I'm in Trouble, Captain's Knock, Stravinsky and Unfazed. 28-2, 28-6 for the first half. Hector and I'm in Trouble were flat at the cages. 27-5 on the side. Stravinsky pulled three wide, which flushed out Captain's Knock. Tuppence pushed away from the pegs. Up the straight, Captain's Knock was never going to be beaten. Both place getters good. Total forgive run, Jillaby Nitro. His form is a lot better than it reads. Nowhere to go in the straight. 27-3 for a 151.6 mile. Race number two, the fave was My Ultimate Snowy at $3.40. A few wanted to get forward here. Sweet Coco, Freddie Singh and My Ultimate Snowy. Sweet Coco led on the pegs. Behind it, Amore In For Day, Has The Courage, Speed Dial and Sheffield Sparky. Running line was My Ultimate Snowy, Freddie Singh, Outside Fighter, Vinky B, Our Treacherous Rain. 26-2 and 28-9 the first half, and there wasn't a lot of action until the home turn. Sweet Coco looked to be in trouble at the cages, was gone on the turn. Freddie Singh came out of the 1-1, which allowed Amore In Feeder to push off, and Has The Courage followed through. Now, Amore In Feeder held its line, while Has The Courage and Rob Morris ducked back to the inside. Sheffield Sparky was looking for a run in the straight. 28 round the side, 28-4 up the straight for a 151.5 mile. Great drive by Morris. Fred gave him a big rap in the call, but he definitely keeps producing drives like that. Didn't mind the run of Sheffield Sparky. Sweet Coco dropped out. There must be an issue with it. Race number three. Fave was He's A Sure Thing at $2, but there wasn't much between It and Classy Operator. Speed early from Ryan's Gangster, who led but was pressured by He's a Sure Thing and Classy Operator. So they went into Indian File. Classy Operator, He's a Sure Thing, Ryan's Gangster, Captain Blood, Terry Rama, Foxy Dada, Rockley Image, Dance and Deliver, Lose Dream and Wave the Bill. 48.7 lead time, then 31 seconds. Chris Geary got the running line going when he came out at the 8.50 with Foxy Dada, and out came Rockley Image, Dance and Deliver and Lose Dream. 29.1 the second quarter. Classy Operator was travelling well in front. Foxy Dada got to third easily, and the rest seemed to be struggling. 27.1 third quarter. Classy Operator went for home up the straight. He's a Sure Thing, couldn't reel in the leader, finished second. Rockley Image charged home down the outside for third. Good run, but got the right trip. First and second can win again soon. 28 home, 154.7 the mile. Nice performance, and Grimer gets another Saturday night winner. Race number four, Titian Raider was the $2.90 favourite. There was speed from Lochiel early before it gave way to Titian Raider, and they went into Indian File. So Titian Raider, Lochiel, Kaitoa, Our Ideal Dream, Red Reactor, Our Uncle Jim, Robbie Rocket. Lead time slow, 52, and then that forced Our Uncle Jim to come away from the inside as they passed the finishing line with a lap to go. Our Uncle Jim and Robbie Rocket with a running line, 29.8 and then 28.1. Titian Raider tried to break their hearts when he dropped the 27.2 around the side, but Lochiel and Kaitoa were stalking it. Lochiel came to the outside in the straight and had one crack at the leader, who was tiring, grabbed him late, 28.4 home for a 155.8 mile. Titian Raider, every chance, maybe if it had sat around the side instead of dashing, but he had got it made to order in front, so you can't be too critical. Kaitoa ran a good race for Christy O'Sullivan. Nothing else worth a mention in that. Race number five, Swayze was the $1.05 favourite. There was speed early from Firefox and also Canina Provlima. Firefox held. Robbie Morris made enough room to drop in with Canina Provlima. Then it was LL Cool J, Malcolm's Rhythm, Where You Been Boppin', Joe Nien and Star Major. Swayze kept trucking off the pegs and worked to the front after 400. 48.3 the lead time, and they stayed in single file until the home turn. So quarters, 29.2, 28.5, 27.9. Hart tightened the screws and Swayze dashed away with a comfortable margin. On the turn, Malcolm's Rhythm came off the inside and so too did LL Cool J. Thought that those that did work early were left sitting ducks, as Where You Been Boppin' got to the outside and worked home really well. Malcolm's Rhythm was really good late too. He keeps getting mentioned in this segment. I hope people had him in their multiples tonight. He's going really, really well. Look for Where You Been Boppin' to win a race when it can storm out and lead. Swayze's final quarter, 27.4 for a mile rate of 152.8 over the longer trip. Race number six, the fave was Artie's Express at 106. The speed came from Tay-Tay, who crossed to lead before Artie's Express came forward and rolled to the top, and they went into single file. So Artie's Express, Tay-Tay, I'll Have a Bubbles, Little Bliss, and I'm Prezzy Bell. There were no moves in this one at all. Quarters, 27.5, 30.9, 28.5, and it became a dash up the straight. Artie's Express looked to be well in control until Tay-Tay zipped up the last little bit and just missed. I'm Prezzy Bell looked a top three chance when she stuck to them inside, but I'll Have a Bubbles was strong in third. 26.1 final quarter for a 153 mile. Leader's much, much better than that, and I think we will see her tighten up after that victory. Really like Tay-Tay. Great speed early, and she finished off nicely as well. Race number seven, the three-year-old New South Wales Trotters final, and the fave was My Ultimate Sunny at $2.80. Speed early from My Ultimate Sunny and also Maximus Meridius, with Maximus crossing to lead. Economy galloped as the starter said go, and then galloped again in the front straight. They went into Indian File. It was Maximus Meridius, My Ultimate Sunny, Malibu, Impact Stride, Prohibited Love, Centurion Dream, Karakajak Tooth, and Military Merit. 51.4 the lead time. Prohibited Love came off the inside with a lap to go. Centurion Dream and Karakajak Tooth came off as well. 31.4, 30.4 the first two quarters. The running line slid up and got up outside the leader. 28.9 around the side. My Ultimate Sunny had a lot of petrol, but had to wait for Prohibited Love to drop off before it could come to the outside and sprint. When it got out, it flew. Karakajak Tooth loomed out wide but couldn't go with the winner. Good run from it. Military Merit had every chance but finished off okay in the straight. 29.7 final quarter for a mile rate of 2 minutes and 2 tenths. And race number 8, the fave was Royal Down at $1.18. There was speed to burn early here with Caligula and Royal Dan charging out of the gate. Powder Keg was playing up, missed the start. Caligula ended up crossing Royal Dan. Then on the pegs, it was Rave on Hall, Sunny G, It's Fergie Time. Off the pegs was London to a Brick. 27.5 first quarter, then they backed it off to 30.6, 28.5 around the side, and London to a Brick started to work into it. Royal Dan was holding his spot in the middle, Caligula back on the pegs. It was a great three-horse battle up the straight. London to a Brick took all day, but got there in the shadows of the post to beat Caligula, who was brave. Royal Dan, who looked gone, rallied late between the two of them. 1.2 metres separated them at the end. 28.5 for a 154.7 mile. Good to see London to a Brick trot throughout to win. Best win of the night, it's got to be Swayze. Just continued to turn the heat up on its rivals and proved too strong. He's back, baby, and ready to take on the best there is in the country. Best beaten effort of the night, I'll go with Tay-Tay. Showed that early speed and came at Artie's Express late. She's going to win a nice race, I think, with those attributes in Sydney. She's growing on me, that's for sure. So best beaten effort of the night, we'll go with Tay-Tay. And driver of the night, Robbie Morris with Has the Courage. Quick thinking to go back to the inside to find room. Horse has been racing well. Robbie produced a 10 out of 10. I must give Will Rickson a rap on Lockheel too. He outthought his rivals in that one.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Winning.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Winner.
That was legitness.
That I say, all right, all right, all right.
Wow, winning.
Bam. Just like that. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. A winner.
Well, we didn't have a winner on the show last week. I missed out. Mr. T missed out. We're both at minus 20 for this season. But I am leading the overall series 1-0. Mr. T's 2. He's gone to Parks on Wednesday. Race 7, number 1, Yarraman Kalu for Nathan Turnbull. It's only had the one run for the Turnbull stable. Made a meal of the start. If it can do everything right, then it should take some beating. So, race 7, number 1, Yarraman Kalu. Race 8, number 1, Artful Prince for Wade Judd and Justin Reynolds. One run back from a spell. Finished second at Bathurst, beaten a long way. Mr. T suggesting this might be a little bit more suitable and is the way to go in this 8th race at Park. So race 8, number 1, Artful Prince on Wednesday. My 2, Menangle Tuesday. Race 5, number 5, Where's Harry? Look, he finished 5th last week and I tipped him, but he just got too far out of his ground. He hit the line really well, but couldn't reel in the leaders. I think he can bounce back into the winners list in a much easier race. So that's race 5, number 5, Where's Harry? And race 7, number 10, American Spirit, possesses good gate speed, has won 2 of its last 3. Led from 10 last start and was beaten by Bartello, and Bartello has come out and franked that form by winning again since. If it can get a breather at some stage, I think it's going to take some catching. So that's race 7, number 10, American Spirit. Just about wraps up the podcast for another week. Thank you to my guests on the podcast today. Good to speak with Ash DeLoser and also Will Rickson. Hope you're enjoying your long weekend. Hope you've had a great week. I'll catch you again for the Sunday session again next Sunday. I'll speak to you then.